Chez.
Cartons.
Cartons, hein? That's good, yeah. Thank you. So, my name is Hanumat Preshak, and this sheet here is kind of written there, and that's of course a name for Ram. It means the sender of
yes.
Who did Ram send with a message?
Hanuman.
So Hanumat Preshak. Preshak Kanam. Yeah. And then we have the North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies, which is our educational effort like that in ISKCON. And I've been here many times before. The first time I came was when there was no marble on the temple room floor. The first time we came. And right now we're just coming back from Russia. First time in Russia. It's very nice. So maybe we're trying to do a series of topics for the next 5 days. Then we'll go to Mexico for about the weekend. And very nice programs in Mexico. The university there, very nice. And then come back and be here for maybe until the 19th, like that. So this is a song by Narottam Das Thakur. And it's called Lalaz Mai Prarthana. Please sing, like the boys know it. Goranga Boli Sehabe Ula Kashare Hari Hari Boli Sehabe Nayane that opportune moment come? When will that opportune moment come to me when there will be shivering of the body as soon as I chant Lord Gauranga's name? Gauranga bolite habe pulakar sharir. Hari hari bolite nayani babi nir. And after the shivering while chanting Hare Krishna, when will there be tears pouring down from my eyes? When will that day come when Lord Nityananda's causeless mercy is bestowed upon me so that my desire for material enjoyment becomes insignificant? When will my mind become completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires? Then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Then my spiritual life will be successful. When shall I be very eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis? One has to learn of the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna from the teachings of these six Goswamis. Narottam Das Thakur always wishes to understand this conjugal love under the direction of the six Goswamis. So maybe over the next few days we can sing this again and again and again like that. Of course, Prabhupada wrote so many books. How many books do we have? What do you think? Over 100 volumes of literature. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, East Upanishad, the Krishna book, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. But in his purports, he only quotes two songs. Right? Out of all those purports, only two songs does he actually quote. And this is one of them. It's in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, verse number 17. What's the other song that he quotes? And where is it? At the Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh. They knew this. Any pundits here? Radhila Madhava Pandit Sangha. Yeah. It's in Canto 6. He quotes Narada Muni Bhajai Veena. And I've heard, they say that was Prabhupada's favorite song. You know, Narada Muni is just traveling all over the place, singing on his Radhika Ramana, and people are becoming inundated with love of Krishna. Lord Shiva is embracing Narada Muni. Indra is shivering in ecstasy. This is one of the two songs. And in the purport, the chapter is called Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. Because we're always chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Vasadi Gaur Vakraman. This is everything. Everything is in these five tattvas. You know, you can also say Krishna, Rama, Mahavishnu or Paramatma, Gadadhar or I'm going to say Radha, and then Narada Muni. Or you can say Jehovah, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Mother Mary, and St. Francis of Assisi. And this is saying it's a universal thing. It's just, if you heat ice, you get water. If you heat water, you get steam. It doesn't matter if it's Russian ice or Gujarati ice or Bihari ice. It doesn't matter what religion you're following. If you're really following a religion, you're going to have the same things happening, the same development. You know? So we should understand the science of theology. You know? So there, Prabhupada's talking about this song, Narottam. He's presenting, giving us a progressive development of devotional service to a very, very high level like that. In the beginning, is we're chanting the names of Gauranga, and somehow or other we come in contact with this. And because of that, we begin to feel some ecstasy. You know, Gauranga, bolite habi, pulaka, sarir, hari hari bolite, nayani babe nir. So by associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we get the mercy of Nityananda. Yeah, first, everybody realizes God, but then they realize that you have to approach God through Guru. You know? And sometimes you can't tell which is which. You know, so many Christians say nobody can know God, so he takes a form of Jesus Christ, right? Or other yoga groups also say, you know, God is impersonal. Therefore, all they can see is the enormous feet of their Guru Maharaj. No, God and Guru are different. You know, Krishna and Balaram are different functions. Jehovah and Jesus are different, like that. And so then by the mercy of worshiping God, then he sends his guru. We get some appreciation for acharyas or maybe a specific diksha guru, even like that. Yeah. So what is the symptom of somebody who's got the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Next line. Arakave nitai chandir korona hoibe. So what happens? Samsara vajana mora kabatucha habe. When will that day come when Lord Nityananda's causeless mercy is bestowed upon me, so my desires for material enjoyment become very insignificant? How many people here still have desires for material enjoyment? Be honest. There's nobody. Okay. And that's because of wanting all these inferior things. So many inferior things, you know. But when Lord Nityananda gives us his mercy, then this all becomes so insignificant, you know. My husband lost his job. What'll happen to us? Wake up. And I see this. You know, so many families are in the software industry. You know, they're working, and then they'll have big layoffs, and the wife is having nausea and vomiting because if you lose your job, Prabhu, what'll happen? You know, something else will happen. Maybe we'll live on the street under an umbrella. And I'll hold the umbrella, and you can hold the baby on your lap, and you know, we can go on. Okay, fine with me. But that's what happens when we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It's all our material desires become insignificant. And he goes on with the same thing. Vishaya chariya kabe shudahabi man. Kabi homa harabo. Bengali accent. Kabi homa harabo. So when Vishaya chariya, we're just giving up this material enjoyment by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. At that point, our mind becomes pure. And at one yogi, he's comparing the mind to a runway, like in the airport, like that. So Krishna's always trying to give us advice, but you have all these automobiles running across the runway, so he can't land. You know, how's it go? Mana, jitatmana, prasantasya paramatma samahita. Bhagavad Gita says, jitatmana, prasantasya paramatma samahita. When the mind becomes conquered, jitatma, prasantasya, we become happy, paramatma, samahita. So all you have to do is bring it under control by any of the yoga systems, and then you can start getting good advice, like that. So, vishayi chariya kabe shudahabe mana. The mind is completely purified after I give up these material desires. And then what happens? Then I can understand Vrindavan Dham. There is a spiritual world. This is not it, right? Is, you know, some people think, oh, if I leave the prison, what will I eat? What will I do? Is there any life after that? Have you ever seen prison menus? One devotee was in prison, he sent me a photocopy of their weekly menu. If that was enough to make you be a good person, reading it was just the most miserable, boring, you know, some commercial food place, Cisco, delivers, you know, these big cans of powdered eggs, and they mix those, smoking cigarettes, and, you know, and, you know, it's just, oh, It makes you so stupid, it'd be impossible to, you know, figure out how to escape from prison. You know? So, okay, when my mind is pure, then I'll be able to appreciate Vaikuntha, you know, Vrindavan. Yes, there is a spiritual world like that. You know? And so then how do I enter into that spiritual world? By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, I get free material attachments. By the mercy of my purified mind, I can appreciate Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Hoibe Akuti. When I have very strong desires, akuti, kabihama buja bosa yugalakriti, then I can understand, you know, the best of all teenage lovers, the eternal divine couple, Shishi Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahumoraj Pratana Karoje Sada Narottam Das. Always wishing to understand this conjugal love under the direction of six Goswamis. We lost one line here. Narottam goes on eternally singing these songs and their glorification like that. So a very simple process. It's bhajan, in the association of devotees, take prasadam, chant, and your mind becomes purified. You can really begin to appreciate these things by the descending parampara, like that. You know? And then in the beginning, we're just chanting. It's very nice. And then we understand guru, Nityananda, when our material desires diminish. Then we can understand this whole spiritual world. And then by the mercy of six Goswamis, then we can actually begin to enter into this, participate like that. You know? So it's a very nice song. Again, Prabhupada quotes it Yeah, only one of the two songs he actually has there. So it's worth memorizing. These are meditations. You can sing the song. You can, that's karma. You can understand the song. This is jnana. And then you can contemplate the meaning. This is jnana. Right? And then finally, you can love it. There's bhakti like that. You know? So it's progress like that, you know, bhakti yoga. So the six Goswamis, right? This is my, my principal book, Upadeshamrita. And in the preface, we can talk tonight about the preface. My God, you see, there are demons everywhere. No? Collapsing chairs. I was in Peru one time, and they had a new Vyasa song, right? In the preaching center. And I sat down on it, and the back legs broke. I was in the air, and everybody was screaming and panicking. But it was patted in the back for everybody. I was like, oh, that's very interesting. Do you do this for all your guests? So preface to the Upadeshamrita, I'll read this. The Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want you to count how many different people or groups of people are appearing here. So far we got Krishna consciousness movement, Rupa Goswami, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Of whom the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kaba Hama Bujhavo Seyugala Priti. When I am eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to... Why did he come?
To give the Krishna
prana. Not quite. Pretty close. Mm-hmm. In order to bestow upon human society the benediction of the science of Krishna. It's interesting because Prabhupada, this has written so many things, but this is kind of aimed at a certain kind of audience. Many times when I have to give university classes and programs like that, I just do what Prabhupada does here. I talk about this, that, and I use the same humor mood for making these presentations. So he came to bestow upon us as a society the benediction of the science of Krishna. The most exalted of all of these activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the best of the gopis. Any objections to that? Anybody says Chandravali is the best of the gopis? Okay. Yeah. Raghunath Das Thakur says, I don't even want to hear the name Chandravali. The best of the gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, namely, Sri Rupa, Sanatana, Bhata Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopala Bhata, and Das Raghunath. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis. And to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind him the eight verses known as Shikshashtaka, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrita, so we may become pure Vaishnavas. So here he's putting on the same level as the Shikshashtaka, which is maybe our most elevated text in Gaudiya Vaishnavism like that. It's a very nice little summary like that. This originally was a part of, someone told me, of his collection of poems, Padyavali. He has a collection of poems. I think it's called Padyavali. It was in there originally like that. You know? And so this is very nice. We have so many books, if you look at it. We have, Isopanishad, which is Shruti, it's part of the Yajurveda. And then from that we have Bhagavad Gita, then we have Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the heart of all these books that Baba gave us. It's the essence of all the Vedas. So many volumes. And of course the Krishna book is a summary of the 10th canto. Like the Bhagavat, is this one chapter from it. Then after that we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Right? Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to read Srimad Bhagavatam. He says you can only understand Srimad Bhagavatam when you become a madman like me. Yeah. There are many madmen. You become a madman like Lord Chaitanya. Then you can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Ah, my Shishika has a rule. Anybody whose cell phone goes off during the thing has to buy a Bhagavad Gita. Oh, it is horrible. buy a Bhagavad Gita. Oh, my cell phone, where is it? I cannot. Yeah. We'll settle for, you know, something small. Krishna book. He has them right there stacked up like that. It's ready, you know. So he distributes books right there. He's fanatic on book distribution. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is basically a summary of everything. He takes out the real bhakti essence of the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam talks a lot about Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma, how to execute your duties as a father, a king, a prince, a mother, a child, a student, and, you know, spiritually, like that, you know. Sukanya and Chaivana, Maharaj Pachini Barishat and his son, so many things. You know, Kardama and Devahuti. But you know, all is taking us to bhakti, and that's obviously the clear essence of the Bhagavatam. So Nectar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he takes out this, you know, the whole exact science of bhakti. And everybody considers it's very difficult to match that. Even other people from other religions say it's such an incredible presentation of this bhakti ladder. And then, so that's, I don't know how many verses that is, very big. But then he summarized everything he did in 11 verses. We have an advertisement for this. Actually, he first used it at Oxford. When you're walking down the hallway, going to your classes, you see this poster with a kind of a black and white picture of an Indian sadhu, you know, and his kopans, and what is that? You know, and it says, 3 minutes with a genius. What is this? That's what it says. Rupa Goswami and his followers dominated the world of 16th century Indian metaphysics. He was the Prime Minister of Bengal. He existed at the height of material opulence. There's no place in the world like it was then. Spices, medical knowledge, beautiful horses, ivory carriages, music, you know, everything. Political science, poetry. So they had all this, you know. Chatbatur namasesha mandalapati shrinam sada tujavat. But they gave it all up, tujavat, as insignificant. And to follow this great, you know, preacher and saint, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After that, he lived like a simple, humble mendicant, but he wrote so many fantastic literatures, 11,000 verses in 18 major literatures like that. And he summarized everything in 11 verses. Come tonight and spend 3 minutes with a genius. That's our advertisement. Yeah. It works pretty good. People come. So it is 11 verses. Even we haven't even started yet. It's like, this is a proper preface to give us an orientation, you know. Because there's so many groups in the world. I mean, even so many religious groups, even in Indian culture. You know? So in a prefatorial fashion, like the preface here, Prabhupada produced this. It was produced like that. It's actually finally got it printed so the pages don't fall out. This is the... he was invited to a conference in Japan in 1961 on the cultivation of the human spirit, like that. You know? And he thought, well, how can these people understand this? What can we present? You know? Well, the Bhagavatam is obviously our real contribution, but they won't have time to read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada chose one chapter from the 10th canto called Description of Autumn. And Oriental people, Chinese people, are very much inclined to pantheistic descriptions of nature. Just so many. Just you can't beat them, how beautiful they are describing nature. And so the 20th chapter of the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami is giving examples from nature. Like, you know, pick one here. This frog. See this frog here? When the clouds begin to rumble, in the rainy season, the frogs all come out of their caves and they begin to croak. Or rip-rick, rip-rick, ribbit, ribbit. You know? So this is to teach us that all the people in their religion, people may stay in their church, they may be good people, you know, Muslims, Jews, Christians, and stuff, but they should come out of their church, and they should all join together and ribbon. They should all croak together like that, make a very beautiful chorus. You know, maybe there'll be differences, but actually usually you find the differences aren't nasty, they're actually nice. You look at somebody else's religion and you see, well, this is very nice. You know, you know? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when we're at somebody else's church or place of worship, at the time of worship, we should think like this. The same God I am worshiping is being worshiped here, like that. And by seeing this, I can get more insight and inspiration into my own process like that, by seeing the contrast, the comparison. And I can get strength by seeing other people worshiping the same God I'm worshiping. But because I belong to a certain tradition, I won't be participating in the details of this particular worship like that. You know? This is exactly the position the Catholic Church finally has. The Pope and all the cardinals could come here. They could clap their hands during the kirtan. They could chant. They could sway from side to side. But they couldn't dance. That's kind of what they, you know, what they said, you know, appreciating other religions like that. So we've used this actually for interfaith dialogues. Take the picture, send it off to the newspaper, send Prabhupada's purport, and then they've got a nice little picture to print. And they say, well, when is this program? When is it happening? And so Prabhupada's words are very potent. But this is just an introduction to attract people. It's not like a conclusion. You know? So there's one text here, kind of appropriate, about different religions. Yeah. Okay, this is number 20. And so we find this was out of print. Actually, on the bookshelf there, there's one a small copy. If I were you, I'd buy it. Because they don't exist anymore. They're out of print. So we started trying to print this about last year, and it's just as difficult to print a book as it is to build a temple. We got the whole thing done. Like, first of all, you got to lay all the pictures out, and some are square, some are round, some are tall, some are wide, because it was designed for an art conference. It wasn't designed for a book. So that was done. Then the Spanish and English both. Then the Spanish translation, everybody said it was horrible. I didn't know. So we had to pay $1,000 to go through and do a whole new translation of it like that. And, then he got the book ready for our festival. We did a whole festival. We had the art on exhibit in the municipal gallery in Lima. The mayor came, school children came. Then we had different specific topics, education, the role of women in society, science in the Vedas, all these things from different themes here. And we finally finished off on Saturday night with a really nice movie, really incredible, which we have a copy of, based on Light of the Bhagavad. Yeah. And the book was ready, but the pages were all falling out. So one small problem, you know, because this is a technical thing here. This painting is very nice, right? Okay. But if it's on two different pieces of paper, which may happen, then you may get a little line down the middle or a little bit of difference in color unless you have very, very good equipment, which you don't have in Peru. So to avoid that, he was like, you know, putting it on one piece of paper and then chopping it and gluing it, which is the way the Bhagavatam is in BBT. But the pages are falling out, you know. Well, why is this? He went to a friend who's an expert. He said, because your book is like four times the size. Can I cut the other one open? Yeah, cut it open. And it wasn't as flat, it was like this, you know? So it was more for it to grip through. And inside of every curl was a hole, right? So the glue was actually passing through like a string binding. So the guy said, you can do that in Peru if you want to cut the dye and everything else, but unless you're going to make 5,000 copies, it's not going to be worth it. You know? So we went for stitch binding. And you get a little bit of, like you see, right here. You get a little bit of thing bleed through like that, you know? So we did that. So now finally they're actually printed. You know, we have 2,000 copies in Peru. 96 are on their way to Houston, Texas. I was going to take them to Mexico, but they're going to arrive the day after I leave. You know? And we're trying to work out how to do it economically, because the first one was very expensive, you know, in containers. You know? But it's a wonderful preaching tool for certain kind of people. Food for Life is a wonderful preaching tool for other people. Bhaktivedanta Institute for scientists. You know? Scientists don't like this so much because it's too emotional. It's like too intense. So this picture shows the during the rainy season, the rivers become very big and they're, you know, flowing very powerfully. And so it says, fierce torrents of rain break over the strands and the partition walls of the paddy field. These disturbances resemble those created by the seasonal opponents of the standard principles of the Vedas, who are influenced by the age of Kali. So this is 5,000 years ago, before Kali Yuga started. Yeah, Sukadeva Goswami is describing these things. Yeah. So, in Prabhupada's purport. Okay. Originally, the path of self-realization was established by the standard direction of the Vedas. Srila Vyasadeva divided the original Veda into four divisions, namely Rig.
Rig, Sama, Yajur, Atharva.
Okay. Sama, Atharva, Rig, and Yajur. Then he divided the same Vedas into 18 Puranas, supplements, and the Mahabharata. And then again, the same author summarized them in Vedanta Sutra. The purpose of all these Vedic literatures is to realize one's self to be a spiritual being, eternally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive four, Sri Krishna. But all these different Vedic literatures were systematically distorted by the onslaught of the age of Kali, as the walls of the paddy field and the strand of the river are distorted by the onslaught of heavy rains. The attacks of distortion are offered by atheistic philosophers who are concerned only with eating, drinking, being merry, and enjoying. These atheists are all against the revealed scriptures because such persons are intimately attached to sense pleasures and gross materialism. There are also others who do not believe in the eternity of life. Some of them propose that life is ultimately to be annihilated and that only the material energy is conserved. Others are less concerned with physical laws but do not believe anything beyond their experience. And still others equate spirit and matter and declare the distinction between them is illusory. Paragraph. There is no doubt that the Vedas stand as the most recognized books of knowledge from every angle of vision. But over the course of time, the Vedic path has been attacked by philosophers like, okay, I hear Prabhupada's going to insult everybody. Charvaka, Buddha, Arhat, Anishwar Kapila, Patanjali, Shankara, Vaikarayana, Jaimini, the Nayakas, the Vaisheshekas, the Sagunas, the Empiricists, the Pasupati Shaivas, the Saguna Shaivas, the Brahmanas, the Aryas, and many other. A list of non-Vedic speculators grows every day without restriction. The path of the Vedas does not accord with any principle devoid of an eternal relation with God. The path of the Vedas does not accord with any principle devoid of an eternal relation with God, attainment of his devotional service, and culmination in transcendental love for him. So what does it do? Hopefully it inspires some discussion. Maybe there are any Saguna Shaivas here? It's like he just everybody, you know. Yeah, so we have disagreements, with some minor disagreements with some people, major disagreements with other people, you know. This is not unusual. In some ways, you know, everybody, I came on Frontier Airlines today. Usually I fly Southwest Airlines, you know. There's also Continental Airlines, and, you know. Well, why, if God is one, why are there so many religions? Right? People say that. If God is one, why are there so many religions? You know? Well, why, if you know, flying is one, why are there so many airlines? Usually we're all flying in the same airplanes. You know, because Frontier Airline has a hub in Denver, and if you're going to be going in and out of Denver, they have the market. You know? Delta's hub is in Dallas and also Atlanta. You know? Yeah. And so like that, different people. So the reason I'm mentioning this is because, so people know, we are specifically, you know, we're generally Vaishnavas. We believe in Vishnu and that there's a God who maintains everything, and the ultimate goal is to go to the spiritual world and go back to him. You know, where have you been? I've been in the material world. Well, glad to see you back. Get to work. Thank you. Everybody wants a government job, usually, right? Because a government job is steady, and so same. Everybody wants a, you know, service of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. It's the very nicest place. So that's what we believe. Whereas, you know, there's so many varieties of Buddhists, so many varieties. But one general aspect of Buddhism, a lot of times, is Shunyavad, nihilism. That you know, America is never going to, not going to exist forever. You see that empires don't exist forever. So you can't, America doesn't really exist. You know? And after that, you may work for Micron or IBM or somebody, I don't know, you know. But that's also not going to exist forever. If you work for Krishna culture, it's not going to work forever. Okay, so the nation is not real, my business is not real, and your family is going to come and go. After some time, people won't even remember the names of your family members like that. You know? So my family's not real. And your body, is it permanent? I was reading, even the bones change within like 7 years. And less than that, 3 years, all the bones are changed. So the whole thing is just changing like that. Okay, so your nation is not real, your business is not real, your family is not real, your body is not real, your mind is also not real. And finally, if you get rid of all these things, when you meet the Buddha on the road, you should kill him. Right? Because even Buddha is not real. Those who speak do not know. Those who know do not speak. God is a circle with its center everywhere and no circumference. Then why do you call it a circle? Oh, good question. But anyway, this is, you know, one very prominent philosophy that is going on like that. It has its utility. It has its way to fit in like that. But we don't agree with this. We know there is a person, there is a relationship, but it's not material. We agree with Buddha. It's not material like that. You know? And there are so many philosophies, so many cultures like that, and we can discuss this for a long time or somebody else. But specifically then, to make this point, is that we're taking shelter of, you know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and through him, the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Guru, and then specifically these six Goswamis, like that. They're the empowered representatives of Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So Rupa Goswami wrote so many books, you know, for our benefit, and all the purports to Prabhupada's text are coming strictly from these Goswamis like that, you know, so on. And so this Upadeshamrita is very, very nice, you know, text. I like it very much. It's a basis for doing things. So I think in the next few days, you know, we can go through some of the ideas he presents. It's a nice summary. And we can talk in more detail if anybody likes like that. So the preface, what's in the preface? Any writers here? Authors? You know, authors. What do you put in the preface of your book? You know?
Preface.
Huh?
Preface. Introduction.
Intention. Yeah. What is the purpose of the book? Yeah. Under what circumstances was it written? Like that. What is expected of the reader? What kind of person am I aiming at to read this? What are the qualifications of the author? I'm a high school mathematics teacher at Central College in Centralville, America, and we discovered there were no good books for calculus for high school students. So in 2002, myself and my students at Central High School wrote this book on, you know, calculus for high school students, and it's expected the student will have already finished analytical geometry. You know, okay, that's a preface. Okay, and the introduction then introduces the content actually like that. So in this, Prabhupada's preface, it's very short. It's just like, you know, 2 pages. The part I read so far is like the preface, like that. You know? Then after that, he goes into introducing the content, like that. Maybe we can discuss tomorrow, you know, if he wants to come along. But so how many groups of people there are? If you go through it, what it is a parampara. He talks about Krishna, right? And he's the supreme lovable. By who? By Radha, and by all the gopis. And then Lord Chaitanya is coming in the mood of the gopis, Radharani. And his followers are the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami. And then coming down, then we have from them, from Narottam Das Thakur, this beautiful songs and everything else explaining them, so we can go to the Goswamis. Then after that, there's all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and we're part of this Gaudiya Vaishnavas and this Krishna consciousness movement. So many times, this is the real thing. We have to enter into this parampara, and Prabhupada's entering in different ways like that, depending on effect. But this is the basic thing. It's coming down, and when you do that, you can actually get, you know, the connection like that. You know, by the mercy of, you know, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Narottam Das, by the mercy of the Goswamis, you can actually go to Krishna. Yeah. So that's a summary. So any comments, questions, complaints? It's okay. There's no Saguna, Saguna or Shaivas here.
I have a question.
Oh, you Char? Ah, there's Charvak.
Yeah, you were mentioning Kuber. Some of the names like Patanjali and Vaisheshika. Yeah. Is there different philosophers?
Yeah, yeah.
Nirvishesha or Sunyavadi or just Mayavadi is different. Or I'm just lost for what kind of everybody introduces their own philosophy.
Well, Prabhupada gives that. He said there are different people. Some people say that, for example, the modern philosophy by which we all are conducting our lives is science. You know, so everybody goes to school, they study science, and children, they learn to count, they learn to do mathematics, they learn science. And so we're all educated. Everybody here is educated in an industrial point of view. And the idea there is that everything is coming from matter. In the beginning, there was the chunk, right? Now the chunk has a new name. Because, you know, who wants to be called the chunk? Like that, right? So now the chunk is the singularity. Now, I was the chunk. Now I am the singularity. Wow. Okay. And this is, you know, this is a standard creation story that science is based upon. You know? And the Moscow group says something, and the Stanford group says something, but it's irrational. You know? In the beginning was the singularity. And the singularity had no enemies, had no friends, had no time, had no space. But somehow or other, the singularity changed. And that's the first problem. Because it's, you know, starting off with a nirvishesh, right? Not shunyabha, but nirvishesh. It's a nothing. Yeah, not nothing, but it's a formless, tasteless, colorless substance. Right? But then it changed.
Okay.
Then it produced light elements, and the light elements condensed and produced heavy elements, and those could coalesce somehow or other and produce by chance and produce suns, and by chance those spit out things that cooled down and became planets. Then by chance it started raining on those planets, and there was something, you know, so many theories like that, lightning or something, and the atoms and molecules assembled into DNA and RNA by chance. You know, it was pretty hard, you know. Then after that you got one-celled animals, and those became multi-celled animals, and those became aquatics, and some of them were able to go out and look around, and some decided it'll never work, went back in the water. Other guys are more enthusiastic, you know, they stayed on the land, they became frogs, and the frogs became birds, and the birds became mammals, and you know, finally you get software engineers. all crouched over their computers like this. So I did a whole cartoon like that. So cavemen back to software engineers. But that's the story. There are many problems with this. It's very fundamental logical problems. But the basic principle is everything comes from matter. And matter by chance and natural selection. And it produces everything, life. And there is no personality. There is no. We are a product of our brain. Right? The brain produces the personality. When there's no brain, you know, that's not. So that's one theory. Other people have different ideas. And then there's Sadarshan, you know, with Patanjali, Vaisheshika, Patanjali, Gautama, Jaimini, Astavarka, and Vedanta, like that. And each of them has a slightly different view of reality. Some people say you can see a progressive development like that in their philosophy like that. No? The Prabhupada's point is that in the end, the Vedas ultimately are saying that we have a personal relationship, we aren't matter. You know, because some people say, hedonists say, we're matter, that's it. And we're this body. So eat, drink, and be merry, and don't worry if you incur any kind of debts or anything else, because when you're dead, it's all finished anyway. So any old damn thing you want to, just to get the good clothes, the wine, the caviar, you know, what else? You got escargot, frog legs, you know, beautiful women. And, you know, that's hedonistic philosophy. You know? And so he said, no, we aren't matter. You know? And we have an eternal relationship with the supreme, all-attractive person, Sri Krishna, and religion means to reestablish that. And Prabhupada's very forceful. Yeah. Yeah. So all these different groups, I don't know how, you know, one-third of them. Now, Kapila says, we know Anishvara Kapila, but he has his philosophy is, oh boy, how's it going? Yes, now. Who's atomism is who? Who's presenting atomic theory? Radha Krishna. Huh? Who? Vaisheshik. Yeah, Vaisheshika. But his philosophy is everything is made of little particles, you know, of different things. And it goes to Democritus and goes to the West. But Kapila, I think, is saying everything is produced by the modes of nature, like that, so on. So they have different ideas about how it's going on like that. Of course, Sadarshan is this very powerful, famous in India. So he mentioned these. I think it's what we, Patanjali, we have a little, it's like he accepts that in the end we have to be reconnected. Like a finger is cut off in the body. So finding samadhi is when we're reconnected with the body and we're in harmony again, like that. But this is only Shantaras. And we're saying that we actually have to engage in an active, positive program of serving Krishna. Not just the master says, do this, do this, do this. We think, well, no. What does the master need? You know, like that. You know, I can do what he wants, but I can also use my intelligence and do things he didn't think about, you know, like that. You know? So we have a little, you know, little disagreement with Patanjali's conclusion. Patanjali may have known more, but he may not have talked about it at that time. Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna, you know, as far as we're concerned. So he knew much more. They came to Buddha and they said, okay, Buddha, some people say there's a God and some people say there isn't. What do you say? You know, Buddha says that you should find out. So he never said there was no Atma. Yeah, and then Atma, anyone, big Buddhist professor, he says 90% of the Buddhists in the world, when they say there's no Atma, they mean there's no mind. They're not even talking about the soul, because Atma also means the mind, intelligence, like that. And they aren't opposed. And most Buddhists are actually Vaishnavas, because most Buddhists are following Amitabha Buddha. Many Buddhists. So Amitabha Buddha, his goal was to create Sukhavati, the pure land. And where is it? It's in India. Yeah. No, it's in, you go from Iran and Iraq to India, and you go from China to India. Well, they're both cultures. Everybody in the Western countries, forget about the Western kind of cultures. You know? So then this whole story is like about going to get scripture from the Buddha in Sukhavati in the Western, you know, you have to go to the West, to India, from China. And he said, you know, I want to create a land where there's no death, where there's no suffering, where people can live forever. And anybody who at the time of death calls upon my name, I will come and take them to Sukhavati. You know? So it's, you know, very much, you know, Vaishnava culture like that. But very simple. You know? Yeah. So anyway, this is our point, is that just tonight, kind of this point is that, you know, we're following Rupa Goswami. Yeah. And it's a specific culture, and it may be different. I mean, I have one friend who's a very nice devotee, he's a Ram Bhakta, and he just can't really find a place in ISKCON exactly, because he likes it, appreciates it very much, but it's just, we're not Ram Bhaktas, you know. But he appreciates very much, this helps him very much in his activities in this devotional career and finding a guru and stuff like that, a bona fide Ram Bhakta guru. Yeah? Yeah. So, ready to accept all challenges from the Sagunas, the Pashupati Shaivas, the Rishisha, Sunyavadis. It's okay? Yeah. It's interesting comparing all these different groups like that, you know, stuff, but it's a whole different. A different thing like that. You know? Yeah. We need to know enough for our service. That's a basic principle. You know? You can never know everything. It's unlimited. So what is my service? So maybe then tomorrow night we can actually go on to the. I'll give you the rest of the introduction here, and tomorrow night we can go on to text numbers 1, 2, 3. If you haven't got the book, buy it. Right? These are also out of print. You know, we're going to reprint. We printed this, and then maybe we will. Neos will also reprint the. It's cost us, so far, it's cost us 17,000, about almost $18,000 to print 2,000 copies of this. Like that. And that's cheap with modern prices like that. Now we got to get them from Peru to here like that. Yeah. But it's very, I feel very happy. I feel like I've earned my ticket back to the spiritual world. It's like, we put in, everybody looks at it as very nice. You know? So it's the best book the Spanish BBT's ever done. That. So, you know, opening temples, yes, wonderful. You know, food for life, wonderful. Find your position and get to work. You know, confirm there is a God. Who is he? And then, you know, preach to your people. Okay. So Upadeshamrita is a summary of all these things. And then, what is the content? In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. We're even below that. Yeah. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within the material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. Yeah. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami. And then, this is very interesting, everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So you can fix yourself in the mode of goodness, and the Paramatma is there. And we'll understand, I should read this book. And the Paramatma is telling me I should do that. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. A pilot, the airplane has an attitude, right? There's, how's it go? Pitch.
Pitch up, pitch down.
Roll. Yeah. And?
Yaw.
So, you can understand this then. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the follower. You got to have the right, you know, pitch, roll, and yaw. Then, okay, you can understand it. Okay. A follower of the Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. How many perfect Goswamis? I get a title and I'm still working on it. You know? Okay. A follower, yeah. And also ladies too. There's no smaller tests for women and children. Everybody has to face the same, you know, trial of their character, test of their character in the end. So ladies also have to become Goswamis, right? In terms of their particular nature, ashram, like that. Children. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis. In Vrindavan, this is a title by which the director of each temple is known. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna must become a Goswami. Go means the senses, and Swami means the master. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot become a Goswami. To achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami and then a pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrita, which have been given by Sri Rupa Goswami. Sri Rupa Goswami has given many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha, and Lalita Madhava. But Upadeshamrita constitutes first instructions for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly, and it will be easier to make one's life successful. Hare Krishna. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, September 20th, 1975. Vishwarupa Mahotsava, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Raman Reti, Vrindavan, India. So that's 33 years ago. And it's interesting, almost all these books have days in which they're finished. So we have another reason for another Vaishnava festival. And myself, I have a festival on Vishwarupa Mahotsava for Upadeshamrita. I read the whole thing in one day, you know, offer arti to the book, distribute prasadam. That. So you can have, you know, Prabhupada said, I can give you a reason to have a festival every day if you can do it. So it's a very interesting time. That's Thakur Haridasa's disappearance. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance, whatever it is. It's all within 3-4 days. There's so many festivals right then. And we have our annual festival with Neos in Tennessee at that time. So we had interfaith dialogue for several years. It's been very nice, very nice. Just people coming from different religions and talking. Oof. More and more people feeling like really close. And one of our main promoters was a Jewish professor. He left his body, kind of fell down some stairs, had a broken bones, and had a heart attack, you know, after a couple of days afterwards. And so, you know, very. So now this year's topic is going to be, where do we go when we die? So you have Jews, Christians, Muslims, you know, Hindus. You know, it's a nice thing. What happens? You know, one Buddhist guy. You know, I don't know where the Buddhists go when they die. So tomorrow then we can maybe discuss text numbers 1, 2, 3. And it's about this basic principle of sense control. You know, Krishna tells Rukmini, you should find another husband. You go. You should, you know. You, I know you married me because you heard from Narada Muni, but really you didn't get enough advice, and so you should go find somebody else. And she already has grown-up children. She's not listening to all this, you know. He says, I'm just a useless guy. I'm a coward. I'm so much afraid of all the kings of the world that I built an island to hang and hide out from all these people like that. So he gives so many reasons, you know. She thinks he's serious, so she passes out. The Christian goes, oh my God, I was just joking like that. Wakes her up. He said, I'm just joking, you know. She said, oh, okay, you know. But then she goes through all of his points and she says, you say that you're afraid of the kings of this world, but who are the kings of this world? She says, I think there's five. the five senses, and they conquer everybody like that. But your devotees, you know, they control themselves. They're not controlled by this, you know. And so if they're free from this thing, then you must also be free from this. Okay. So tomorrow we'll hear about sense control, right? So Papa Ki.
Yeah.
All right, here's the Mahamantra Ki.
Yeah.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey!
Krishna, 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 hey!
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Thank you.
Artik?
Yeah, I do.
You want to say? Artik.